Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
We're busy with finances, you know, one of the things that I learned this morning, actually, while I was just praying and stuff, and I was just reading something, we're dealing with prosperity, and as soon as we start dealing with prosperity, usually people get uncomfortable because they think it's greed. We're not talking about greed, and we focused on that. If you've missed anything in the series, please, you know, order it at the back that side, or go onto our website and get it. But we're not talking about greed. We're talking about prosperity for a purpose. And I read this morning, it was really awesome, just somebody writing about prosperity and saying, the biblical definition for prosperity is help for the journey. Now that's significant, because we're all on a journey as believers, and it's not a journey, let me just define the journey for you, on a journey of fulfilling our purpose in God, which is to be an ambassador of Christ, which is to reach people, to be a blessing. And so, obviously, if you're on a journey to accomplish something for God, then it means that you need help for the journey. You need provision for the journey. And so that's why prosperity is so important. People who are anti-prosperity when it comes to the word don't understand what prosperity actually is, because prosperity is simply help for the journey. Okay, so I think that that's really a significant place to start off with. But this morning we're going to be continuing on looking at giving. Now, if you get upset with me on anything, you've missed out on the series, so get the CDs and listen so you can catch up. But with regard to New Testament giving, we started last week and looked at the why of giving, and we're going to continue looking at different aspects of giving this morning. But I want to start off with Psalm 35 verse 27, which says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say, I like it, it says yea. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which is pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So God takes pleasure in our prosperity. And when we start believing that and we read that scripture, we're going to be excited about it and shout and be joyful and all of that. You know, one day, I believe we'll get there. So last week, we started looking at giving. As I said, we said we give to partner with God with what he's doing in the world so we can be part of reaching people. We give because it's a way of increase. We looked at that. And then 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And what we got out of that was basically that you cannot outgive God. Okay, and I think that's an important point when it comes to giving. If you missed out, if that's confusing, get last week's teaching. So we're going to start looking at New Testament principles for giving, or continue looking on there. And I want to start off in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 3. Okay, so the scripture's up on the screen, and you can follow along there. But from the New King James Version, it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, when it says my body to be burned, it's talking about like the ultimate offering, the ultimate sacrifice. And so it's saying that the greatest offering that we could offer is our actual everything we are, just our body, you know, to be burned or sacrificed. And this says that, firstly, it's saying that if you don't have the right motivation, even if you give everything, it's not going to profit you. Okay, but secondly, I like this verse because it says that giving profits. And a lot of people don't believe that giving profits, but there's many scriptures which talk about giving and say that it profits, and we focused on this, we just haven't looked at it in this verse. But this says that if you give with the right motivation, it profits you. So giving profits you. Okay, John 3:16. When we give like God gives, it'll profit us like it profited God. For God so loved the world, love was his motivation, that he gave. And, you know, he gave his best, he gave Jesus, and as a result, he reaped many sons and many daughters. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I've been in many teachings on or sermons or churches focusing on finances and stuff. And, you know, I think I've been probably through some of you have been through the kind of same experiences where there's abuses and stuff like this. I remember one church, which we left very quickly after this, they handed out pink slips. And for their building fund, you had to fill in, if you're a member, fill in your information, fill in how much you earn, fill in what your tithe is, and then fill in after that how much you're going to give to the building fund. And then they obviously followed up on that. And, you know, that's maybe one way of doing it. But it goes against a lot of things just in this one scripture. And we're going to pull out a couple principles. I think it's four principles from this one scripture to kind of see how we should be giving in the new covenant. We don't, you know, giving in the new covenant shouldn't be burdensome. It shouldn't be, you shouldn't be manipulated into giving. You know, I was in a conference about, I don't know, probably more than 15 years ago. And I remember there was a big conference in the Durban City Hall. And the ushers closed the doors and the offering was taken up. But one of the main speakers got up and said, you know, there's 10 people here who are going to give 1,000 or 10,000, I can't remember, rand each. And, you know, we're just going to wait for those people just to, you know, show themselves because God's given this word. And, you know, I don't believe God works like that. You know, you might believe that there's 10 people going to give 10,000 rand into the offering. I'm believing for that this morning. But I'm not going to tell you to try and, you know, then you're sitting there, we're not going anywhere, guys, until this money comes in. You know what happens then is that people then start to feel obliged and they're like, oh, you know what, let's just get over with this, I'm going to give. Or you get people who feel like, wow, I want to be blessed. They don't understand giving or anything like that. So now it's a case of, well, I want to give and I don't have to give, but I'm just going to give anyway. And then they end up in a big problem. They're not giving in faith. What are they giving in? Fear. Fear that they're going to miss out. They're not giving in faith, they're giving because they feel pressured. And this scripture deals with that nicely. So the first thing it says is, we need to give as we purpose in our heart. Okay? And it says, you know, it says there, you know, that every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. So this shows us, number one, you don't give because you're bullied into it. You don't give because you feel you have to, you give because you want to. You choose for yourself if you want to give or not. Okay? It's up to you. This also, I like the other part of this, it says that you give purposefully. Okay? Give as you purpose, meaning giving needs to be purposeful. Okay? And I think this would probably apply to a lot of people here today where maybe we just tipping God. You know, we're just giving Him a little bit now and then when the bucket goes around because now we're confronted with the opportunity to give. But we should be giving purposefully where, you know, when we're dealing with our finances at home, we're purposing in our hearts to put some money aside to put into the offering, or we're transferring money or whatever, however you want to do it. But it should be purposeful like that, not incidental. I've got a couple rands in my pocket, let me give. You know, it needs to be purposeful. We give in a way that shows determination or resolve. That's what it means. We give with a useful purpose. It's not just like you see a need and there's purpose. There's a place for that. It's not just kind of like taking a bag of seed and just walking down the streets in Cape Town, just throwing out your seed. It's not going to produce anything there. You've got to be purposeful with your seed. You've got to be purposeful in your giving and where you're giving. And we'll talk about this a bit more. But then the next point there, it says, not grudgingly. Okay? And this means we shouldn't give with sadness, heaviness, or sorrow. How many people give with sadness, heaviness, and sorrow? It's usually in a legalistic church. I hope no one here is giving with sadness, heaviness, or sorrow. Because, you know, you're free to give, and you're free not to give. You can choose if you want to give or not. That's freedom. You don't understand giving if you choose not to give. You don't understand the power of partnering with God and the power of seed and all of that. But you don't have to. God still loves you. He still wants to bless you. He still wants to provide for you, even if you don't want to give. So that's fine. It's just going to be difficult for you to receive that provision and that prosperity because you're not operating in faith. Because remember what we said in the beginning. God's not after your money. He's after your heart. And that's why Jesus deals with finances and giving and wealth more than any other topic in the Gospels, because He knows that your finances is linked to your heart. And so if your heart's not right, you're not going to give. If you're not in faith, you're not going to give. But if your heart is right, no one will be able to stop you from giving. There's some individuals I like people like this in Grace Life who I have to kind of put the brakes on them. You know, we could always use more in the ministry for many different reasons, for growing the ministry, planting more churches or whatever the case is. But for some people, I'm just like, you know, I just want to urge you just to rather pray about this, because you're already giving and you're giving very generously. But, you know, it's kind of difficult because you don't want someone to it just shows an awesome, generous heart, but you don't want them to just kind of, you know, you can't outgive God. So they're going to get back, but you want to be wise in your giving too. Okay. So not grudgingly means you're not parting with your money. If you think you're parting with your money, then what's going to happen? You're going to give with sadness. Oh, I would rather give use this for X, Y, and Z. But you're not parting with it. As a sower, you're investing it, which means it brings a return. Okay, so then the next part of that verse says, or of necessity. So we don't give, we should give purposefully, we shouldn't give grudgingly, and we shouldn't give of necessity, which means we shouldn't be pressured and made to feel like we have to. We don't primarily give to needs. It's good to give to a need, but if you're only ever looking for need, then you're going to miss it sometimes. For example, if you kind of, I've had some people that they're kind of like, well, you know, Grace Life doesn't really need my money, so I'm giving to some other place. And you might look here and think, well, we don't need the money. We could use your money. But we don't always tell you the needs that we have in the ministry, because then you're going to be giving according to need and not according to biblical principles. It's good to give. If you see someone in need and you want to give to them, it's a good thing to give to them. But you don't give to your local church based on do they need it or not. Because then you're stifling their growth. You're stopping them from growing. Because it takes money to grow. Okay, so we don't just give according to need. We give, there's other principles which we'll look at in a moment. You know, even a farmer who has a bumper harvest, who has a big harvest, is going to sow. As soon as that harvest is done, they're going to get ready to sow again. And they're not just going to be, oh, we had a good harvest this time. Let's not give. You keep sowing. You keep sowing. And you keep sowing because you want that continuous cycle to continue on. So then the last point there is that we give, it says, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves it when someone gives cheerfully. And so we should be giving cheerfully. Now the Greek word for this means merry, or like I've previously said, hilarious. Okay, so it also means prompt or willing, which brings up a couple points. Firstly, that we should be giving with joy because we get to partner with God and we're excited about what our money is going to accomplish. For example, giving into the ministry, you know, we then give to Albania and we're planting churches here. But if you give to Albania, you're also giving there. There's many opportunities, but we're helping to reach unreached people and establish churches which are going to change people's lives for generations to come. This is significant. Many people just see it as I'm parting with my money and the money's ending up in the bottom of the bucket and then the pastor has a nice whatever car. Your money didn't buy my car. Someone else paid for my car. You know, so you don't have to worry about that. The money is being used to be able to advance the kingdom. Okay? And even if it was to buy for me to use to buy a car, that should be fine too, because those who the Bible says preach the gospel should live off the gospel. And you live off the gospel that you preach. Okay? That's another point. But we give cheerfully. Which means prompt or willing. Okay, so I like this part. It says we should give with a merry heart, knowing that it's seed that will yield a harvest. That's the first point. The second point is we should give promptly. That's why this is also, cheerfully is also meaning that we should give promptly. Okay, which means on time. Imagine a farmer saying, you know what, I'm going to take a 3-month sabbatical over sowing time. Yeah, they're going to be ruined. You know, there's not going to be a harvest. It's stupid. But also, it's like, when is the right time to give? We got to consider that, and we need to give promptly when it comes to that. Okay, and if you've got an account that you need to pay every month, if you don't pay it promptly, what's going to happen? Praise God for grace that He doesn't deal with us like that. Okay, He doesn't deal with us like that at all, but it shows priorities whether you're prompt or not with your giving. Okay, it shows your priorities, and our priorities should be seek first the kingdom of God. So our priorities should be seeking the kingdom first and giving to the kingdom before anything else. Okay, which brings us to, you know, when should we give? Okay, Proverbs 3 verse 9, easy to read version says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first part of your harvest. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first part of your harvest. Okay, many of us are working and then you get a paycheck. That's part of your harvest. Amen? That's part of your harvest. There's that's a loaded statement. But it says there, honor the Lord with your wealth. So that means your money, is your substance, the King James says. So it means something tangible, not just honoring God and, God, I just honor you, you're awesome. That's awesome. Please do that. But it's honoring God with your finances too, because you know, according to Jesus, if your heart and your finances are so closely linked, then if you're not honoring God with your finances, you aren't truly honoring God. And I'm not saying that to get your money. I'm saying that to help you kind of mature and to grow as a believer. If you're not honoring God in the area of your finances, you need to grow up. Okay? Let's get back to the rest of the message. So this is talking about first parts of your harvest. It's talking about first fruits. The principle of giving first, not last scraps. And many of us, I've been there where we fall into the trap of, let me sort out everything, pay everything, and then I'll give whatever's left over. Yeah, it's kind of like you have this big banquet and you've got a guest of honor and you make sure everyone else is fed and then whatever's left over you give to the guest of honor. And there's only a few scraps left. We need to be honoring God first and foremost. Okay? But you have to be purposeful about that. It's not going to happen if you're not purposeful. And that's one of the principles of giving, is to give purposefully. So it's a case of, I got my money, now I decide what am I giving, and then I give it. And then, yeah, I pay Edgar's, or I pay my rent, or I pay whatever you're needing to pay. Many Christians only give after all their needs are met, but, you know, the scripture teaches first fruits, give first. Okay, that means that the first thing we do when we receive our money is we honor God by giving Him a portion. Everything belongs to Him. It all came because of Him. And all He doesn't want everything. He just wants a portion. Okay? So giving first is an act of prioritizing God and His kingdom. Isn't that good? Then, you know, some people only give as they feel led by the Spirit. Only at the specific command of the Lord. So you're waiting for God to say, give to so-and-so, give this much into the bucket, give here, give there. And, you know, there's a place for that. But let's just kill this sacred cow for a moment, because it's wrong. That's not purposeful. Okay? There's a place for that, but that's in addition to purposeful giving. Purposeful giving is the foundation, and then as you feel led by the Spirit is in addition to. Okay? So it's like, you know, I've got my purposeful giving, and every month I give what I give, and then if we feel led to give somewhere else, we give that as well. That's purposeful. Okay, and that's at the command of the Lord. You know, God's word is His instruction, and we shouldn't have to just have audible voices or impressions in our hearts with regard to giving. Okay, I think it's a cop-out, actually. But His word instructs us where and how and when to give. And so if we're following His word, it's not just an audible voice, it's in here. It's in the Bible. So if we're following His word, then we'll be giving purposefully. And then sometimes the Holy Spirit would maybe impress on your heart, you know what, so-and-so is struggling a little bit, go and buy them some groceries. Or just contact them and just, you know, give whatever. Yeah, it's not written in the word, give Shane a car. I wish it was. But somebody was impressed on their heart, and they bought me a car. So it's kind of like, I encourage you, follow the prompting in your heart. Not just with regard to me, but with regard to everyone here. We would all love that if you followed the prompting on your heart. Doesn't matter how big or how small. You know, just a kind gesture of a flower can encourage someone. That's giving. It's generosity. Because it costs you something. Even if you picked it in the garden. You know, it costs you the time to stop and pick it. You shouldn't have without permission, but, you know. Anyway, there are times when God will specifically give direct our giving, but it's in addition to what His word says, not replacement of. Okay? If you ever feel like someone is condemning you into giving or making you feel guilty because you're not giving, it's not the right time to give. We give purposefully. We give because we want to. We give planned. It's planned giving, but we don't give because now someone's pressuring you. You know? There's many things we can say about that, but it's really important that we don't give in to manipulation. You know, if you watch some Christian television, there's a lot of manipulation on there. You know, if you don't give now, we're going to go off air. Please don't give. Let them go off air. They need to go off air. Yeah, put someone else on there who's not going to, you know, manipulate people. But the point is that we shouldn't be giving because we're begged or we're pressured. We give because it's purposeful. We know where we should give, but we also give because it's impressed on our hearts. Okay? So, where to give? The next point. Okay, purpose, I think this is an important point. Purpose determines or guides action. Purpose guides or determines action. And so whatever we do should be because of why we exist or what we're about. Okay, and primarily we're about God. That's first and foremost. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else is added unto us. In context, that's talking about provision. It's saying, hey, you God wants to provide for you, but that provision flows. He doesn't reward you with provision. That provision is waiting for you. But the provision flows as you're prioritizing God and His kingdom, because it's an act of faith and it reveals that you have faith. And so if you're not prioritizing His kingdom, it shows that you don't really believe this stuff. You don't really believe that God wants to prosper you, that God wants to provide for you, or that He has. Okay, so purpose guides action. The purpose of finances is to look after your family. Okay, so before you go to the casino or you play the lotto or whatever you're doing with your money, extramural activities, smoking or what have you, you need to be spending your money on your family and on the kingdom. Because those are the two, from Scripture we've looked at it. Your finances is there so that you're blessed, so that your family's blessed, so that they're doing well, and so that you can be part of expanding God's kingdom. And so before you waste money or spend money on unnecessaries, you should be making sure you're partnering with the kingdom, that you're partnering with God, and that your family is looked after. And it's in that order. First God, then your family. Why do I say that? Because God's not going to take everything, and you're inviting God into your finances where it's easier to operate and the blessing is flowing. That's why we give. It's not to invite the blessing. It's because then that's an act of faith, which is inviting God to be part of our finances. I believe that if you're not giving, you might be believing that God can sort your finances out, bless you, etc. But it's going to be difficult for you to receive anything because you're not truly in faith. Giving doesn't bring God's blessing. It's an act of faith which helps you receive God's blessing. Giving doesn't persuade God, it persuades you. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 to 11, Good News Bible says, what soldiers ever have to, now let's just say we're dealing with where to give. Where should you give? How many of you know there's many places that we can give? You just need to just open your eyes and check your inbox or whatever. There's many people asking for money, and there's many places that we can be a blessing. Some places that we think we'll be a blessing, but you won't really, or whatever. So we need to know where we should be giving. This scripture helps us see one of the places to give. What soldiers ever have to pay their own expenses in the army? Okay. What farmers do not eat the grapes from their own vineyard? What shepherds do not use the milk from their own sheep? I don't have to limit myself to these everyday examples because the law says the same thing. We read in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox. Let's just pause there for a second. Who's speaking? Paul, Mr. Grace Man. Okay. And so he's bringing in the law, but he's not imposing law. He's bringing a principle from the law to show us something, a spiritual truth. Okay, he's not imposing law here, because he's the same person who wrote that thing about give free will, give purposefully, the scripture which we've just looked into. Okay, so he's not imposing law, he's trying to illustrate a spiritual principle using the law. Okay, so he says, do not muzzle an ox when you are using it to thresh grain. Now, is God concerned about the oxen? Didn't he really mean us when he said that? Of course it was written for us. So he's bringing through the spiritual truth that, hey, it's not about oxen, it's about us. Okay? Didn't he really mean us when he said that? Of course, it was written for us. Anyone who plows and anyone who reaps should do their work in the hope of getting a share of the crop. Okay? We have sown spiritual seed among you. Is it too much if we reap material benefits from you? And so he's saying, hey, now he's using that principle to show us something as a spiritual truth. Okay, and what he's saying is that you give, the principle here is where to give, you give to those who feed you spiritually. Okay, this is a great spiritual truth. Okay, give where you're fed, not where you're begged. We give to places that feed us spiritually. Okay, that should be the local church, and you know, there's some local churches which maybe aren't spiritually feeding people, but you are being spiritually fed here in many different ways. And so the principle is give into the place where you're spiritually fed. Now, I believe that this also applies that, you know, if you're watching something on TV or if you're at a conference or you're in a meeting and someone ministers something and you're like, wow, that really fed me. I'm really blessed by that. Then you should also give there. You should also, you know, like partake in their ministry, whatever they're doing. You know, many years back, I was watching Christian television and saw Andrew Womack for the first time, and it turned me right side up, completely changed my life, and I've been a partner with the ministry ever since. Now, I give primarily to Grace Life, but I give in addition, I give to Andrew Womack Ministries because I want to see them reach more people. And so I'm sowing into that ministry. And because I've been fed from that ministry, and we're all like, I'm still being fed from that ministry. Okay? So Galatians 6, verse 6 to 7, God's Word translation. Just to reiterate this, it says, the person who is taught God's Word, who is that? It's you. Listen to it. The person who is taught God's Word should share in all good things with his teacher. Make no mistake about this. You can never make a fool out of God. Whatever you plant is what you harvest. And so it's saying that you give where you're fed. Okay? The one who's ministering the word should partake in what you're reaping from the word. So we're ministering on finances, and I'm trusting that you're going to be reaping in your personal finances, and then as a result, you should be ministering back to the ministry, not just to me. It doesn't all come to me, praise God. But the point is then it helps us to grow the ministry. Okay? When you sow into the one ministering to you, you reap back. Because then that the minister's life is refreshed. I mean, imagine if I was walking the streets, and I was having to work every hour, every minute of every day and do something physical, and I had no time to spend in the Word, no time to prepare a message, and I could barely have time just to stand up here to minister to you. And that goes for all the ministers and all the pastors. We didn't have time to spend with you, time to invest into you, time to have life groups, time to counsel, time to disciple, because we had to, you know, we were just stressed and strained with finances. It's a practical thing. We minister to you spiritually, you minister tangible back. That's what the scripture's showing us there. You don't eat at one restaurant and go over to another to pay. It's a good principle too. Because you're eating here, you should sow here. Because you're receiving in this house, this family, you should sow here. You should invest here. Because then it means that you know, if you go to one restaurant, you eat there and you pay at another, firstly, you're going to have some legal issues. But secondly, it's like they can't replenish the kitchen to provide a meal for you. And so, you know, you're helping to make sure that there's always good food here. Thought you'd be a little bit more excited. But the next point, Malachi 3 verse 10. Malachi 3 verse 10. And let me just preface this by saying we will talk on tithing next week. So we're not talking about tithing now. And if you've listened carefully enough, you've heard enough about tithing even in this message already. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, using the King James just because it sounds so legit, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. Now, I don't believe that your giving is opening up the windows of heaven. I've already said that this morning. Okay, your tithing isn't opening up the windows of heaven. Jesus opened up the windows of heaven. And we're living under an open heaven, but it isn't automatic that you experience healing or provision or whatever the case is. Okay, we've got to receive it by grace through faith. So the grace is that it's given. Now we've got to take hold of it and receive it. And one of the ways that we take hold and receive is through giving, in a sense of it activates what's inside of us, in our heart. Okay, so under the law, people were instructed to bring their tithes to the storehouses. And a storehouse is a place where we get food. It's where we store food. And the principle in this, I believe, still applies. Okay? So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Although we're not under law, the principle still stands. We give where we're fed. We give to the storehouse, so that the storehouse can grow. So that the storehouse can be available to be able to be a blessing. Okay? So, although we're not under law, the principle stands. Give to the storehouse. Give where we're fed. Primarily, our free-willed giving. Now, notice I'm saying free-willed giving because Paul gave the New Testament principle in the scripture we've already looked at and said that all of our giving should be free-willed. Everyone say free-willed. So, it's not because you have to, not grudgingly of necessity, but because you want to. Because you want to give, you give. So we're not imposing law by bringing out a principle from Malachi, okay? Primarily, our free-willed giving should be to where we're spiritually fed, and this is the local church, okay? Now, because in the local church, we receive nourishment from the teaching and preaching. If you're not receiving nourishment, I've got some earbuds for you. I'll give you a notebook and a pen. Then I'm sure you'll get some nourishment. Some people are just switched off. That's why they're not being nourished. But the local church is also a place where we're cared for by leaders and shepherds. We're shepherded. We receive counsel. We receive prayer. We receive support. This is the heart of the local church. It's not just a teaching platform. It's a place where we can be family and be looked after by leadership. And giving into that enables that. Okay? Sadly, as I said, not all local churches are good local churches. But I believe you're in a good local church. If you're visiting with us this morning from another one, make sure that you're in a good local church where you can give and help. Your giving is helping to grow that ministry. Your giving is helping to invest in there so that it can minister back to you more effectively. Okay? When we don't give where we're fed, we stop that ministry from growing. If you're not giving here, you're helping to prevent us from growing. And I'm not talking about numbers-wise, I'm talking about everything else-wise behind the scenes. Okay? It includes numbers-wise, though. The local church is God's plan to reach and change the world. I really believe that. Andrew Womack would say the same. I've heard him say that. The local church is God's plan to reach the world and change the world. Okay? The local church is the backbone of God's work here on earth. We've got some awesome teachers around the world who you can download their podcast, and you might be getting more spiritual food outside of the house than inside this house. And that's okay, but don't switch off to what you can receive inside here. And then, I believe you should be partnering with whoever you're receiving from, but you shouldn't be at the exclusion of this house and where you're calling home, home. Because we're on a mission together. It's not just a mission to receive word. It's a mission to advance the kingdom and plant churches. You know, we're wanting to plant a couple more churches as soon as possible. Like one of them we're wanting to plant. You know, we're just waiting for a venue. That venue is going to cost money, which we don't have yet. But we know that when we get the money, God will provide it. But we're not badgering you saying, hey guys, we're not badgering you. We need your money. We do need your money, but you need to be giving free will as your purpose in your heart. Okay? There's ways that the local church can minister to you that your favorite teacher online cannot. You try and phone them at midnight and say, hey, I'm in a crisis, please pray for me. Some of them might answer because they want your money. But, you know, that's why we're in a family. They're not going to come and bury you one day. They're not going to marry your children. They're not going to help counsel you or anything. They'll send you a free teaching, which wasn't really free. Someone paid for it. But the point is that we give where we fed into the local church primarily. Okay? It's going to take finances to build strong, healthy local churches. And so that's why it's important. And let me just camp here for a little bit and just say, you know, I don't know if everyone would be aware of this, but we're not paying most of our staff. We've got this thing, people come to me and say, I'm called to ministry, I want to be a minister. I say, great, you can earn whatever you want, go and raise it. Go and raise it outside the church. Go ask partners, raise partners, get friends and family to support you to do what you feel called to do, because we can't pay you. You know, most of our, especially pastoral staff, are, if not all, are raising support outside of the church because they believe in what we're doing here so much. And so they're doing it on a voluntary basis, and it's awesome, it reflects a good heart, but it's wrong, and I don't like it, and we're trying to move away from it as soon as possible. It's awesome. It's working. It's helped us to get where we are, but it's not right, because the people who are ministering should be reaping from that ministry. That's how God set it up, but we're not the place where we can do that just yet. And so praise God for the partnership system. But we're looking to move into a place of health where the church is strong enough and we're able to look after our staff. Because, you know, one of the things that I'm constantly in staff meetings and in we have staff days from time to time where we just take time out and minister to the staff. One of the things that I continuously focus on is faith and finances because they need it. They need encouragement to just keep trusting God, and they believe in what they're doing, so they're still here. Some of them for many years already. And it's like they're starting businesses on the side because tent making, because they want to be enabled to stay where they are and do what they're doing. But it's like it shouldn't have to be like that. They should be able to focus on the ministry and helping grow the ministry. But now we've got sidelined businesses and things to keep doing what we're doing. I'm not trying to manipulate you into giving. I'm just explaining the situation so that you can see that our hearts are really to minister to you and to grow this ministry to reach more people. And so, I mean, Carl and Alicia didn't get offered a package to go to Albania. They'll tell you that too. You know, they didn't. We didn't say, hey, would you go and plant a church in Albania? This is your salary, what. It was a, would you go and plant a church in Albania? Would you go and continue the church in Albania? You guys will need to raise your tickets. We'll need to raise your monthly. They raised everything. We helped, but we trained them in that, but we didn't give them a salary. They still don't get a salary. They're living off of partnership. And it shows such an awesome heart. This separates the wheat from the chaff often. You can think about that one. But as I said, we want to move away from this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, Good News Bible says, the elders who do a good work as leaders, as in leading, should be considered worthy of receiving double pay. I was hoping someone up front would say amen. Especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Some of you maybe have a desire to teach and preach. I've met lots of people over the years like that. And they think that this is really just glamorous. I'm just going to stand up front. I just want to preach. Why aren't you letting me preach, Shane? It's awesome. And I love preaching and teaching, but you don't know how much time goes in before to get to stand here. You know, we work hard at it. And I've told guys, when I give them an opportunity, guys and girls, to preach, I've told them that if you're not ready, I'm not going to let you preach. And I've sat with some people before the service, and then I say, okay, give me a highlights version of what you're going to preach. And then they do that, and you're not really confident about what you're going to preach, are you? And they're like, no. And I was like, okay, I'm going to preach then. I didn't prepare anything, but I'm at that place where I don't need to. I can just stand up, and God will give me something. It's on my heart because I've got enough inside of me. But even for these the financial series, etc., it's like a lot of work goes into it to make sure that you're getting a good meal. I mean, imagine going to a restaurant to get a meal, and they didn't really put much effort into it. Some of you have done that. And you don't like it, so you don't tip, or whatever the case is, you complain. But it's like we should be getting good, well-prepared meals in the house as well. Okay? We want to, let me just read the rest of this. It says, especially for those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Verse 18, for the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox when you are using it to thresh grain, and workers should be given their pay. Now, those two quotations are taken from the law. And it's not to impose law, it's a principle of the law which still stands. Okay, we want to stop muzzling our oxen and start feeding them from the fruit of the ministry. That's where we're heading. Trust with us to move in this direction. Okay, you know, whenever we train people on raising partners, when they're coming into ministry and stuff, one of the rules that we have, we've got a rule for this, is please don't raise support within the church. Because you, as the church, should be sowing into the church, not into the ministers into the church, because the church pays the ministers. And there's a couple issues with this, because you know, if you're partnering with individuals, it's preventing us from growing as a ministry. Because as you give, we're able to partner with more of our ministers or give to our ministers. But if you're just, you're also putting yourself in an eldership position, if you decide who you want to partner with and not partner with the church, it's 100% true. You're putting yourself in an eldership position if you're giving to one of the ministers instead of giving to the church, because you're deciding how your money should be spent. Whereas you should be giving to the church, and the elders decide how we're going to use those finances. We've got a finance team in place to help with that. But it's like, because we've got certain priorities. It's the same thing with specified giving. It prevents us from growing as a ministry. And we've learned this the hard way. Someone will give to a certain cause, and then they want to stop giving. And now as a ministry, we're obliged to continue with giving to that cause. And it doesn't work so well. And so it's like, you know, usually from now on, we've got a policy that if someone wants to give, a specified to the ministry, we're going to say, hey, we appreciate that, but just give into the ministry and we'll decide when that's important. Because it's difficult then, because there's other things which are more of a priority than whatever you think is a priority. And so I really believe that that's important. So we appreciate specified giving. You're like, hey, I think I want to just buy I can't think of an example, a carpet for you guys to put at the back, a nice big carpet. And you know, that's not priority for us. You want to spend however many thousands on a carpet, we would rather spend those thousands somewhere else where we know it's going to be better used. So you can understand a bit of specified giving and the problem that it can present to us. But the local church, especially if it's small, cannot do everything. Okay, we're talking about where to give, and I think I've stressed the importance of the local church and how your giving is helping to strengthen the church and build the church and reach more people and all of that. But the local church can't do everything, okay? And so we must sow where into other ministries. For example, I mean, we can't do what Philip and Rita are doing in Solari's Path, and that's a great ministry to give into. You're partnering with them and saying, hey, we believe, you know, it's a gospel-centered ministry. They've got a soup kitchen, and they're helping people. They're doing Bible studies. They're also leaders in Grace Life. But we would never, as a church, be able to fund their ministry. And so they've got other people outside the ministry and some in, and that's awesome to be able to help support that ministry so it keeps going. And that's awesome. You know, Andrew Womack Ministries is making a huge impact around the world. And I'm blessed and very excited or whatever to be a part of that ministry. You know, I might not give a lot, but I'm giving a little to be able to be a part of it and what God's doing through them around the world. The same with Force for Good and Philip and Rita. And so, you know, we give into other ministries as we feel like, hey, I believe in their vision, I believe in what they're doing, and I want to be part of it. But that's secondary to investing into the house where you call home. Okay, we should also look into each other's needs and want to be a blessing to each other. 1 John 3 verse 17 says, but if anyone has the world's goods, what does that mean? If you've got money, if you've got stuff, if you're wealthy, even if you're not, if you've just got something, you know, and you see your brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? It's saying that if you've got God's love inside of you and you see someone in need, you want to help. You want to be part of them. What they're doing. You want to be part of helping to supply that need. You know, God's love in us is our motivating factor in giving. And so you see someone in need, you want to help, you want to support, you want to bless. Okay, so we do give when we feel impressed or where we see need, but that's not primary giving. Once again. Okay? It could be money that you give, it could be a meal, it could be a house, it could be a car, you know, it could be just caring for someone. Buying them a bag of groceries. Whatever your way of giving to someone, it's like it's important to follow that urging, you know, in your heart to help other people, especially family and family in the church. It's really important. So, you know, just looking at a few points that we've discussed You know, firstly, we give because it's our way of partnering with God. Like we saw last week, it's a way of increase as well. But we give of our first fruits. We give to God first because kingdom expansion is our top priority. You know, even if we didn't need your money in Stellenbosch at the church here, you should be giving generously to this house because we're able to then plant other churches. We're able to give more into Albania, give more, you know, wherever we need to be able to invest to see a harvest. I mean, Darren, some of you know, we've sent him up to Pretoria, and he's leading the church now in Pretoria, and the church is still being established, is still growing, and he's got a full-time job now in Joburg, which is awesome for provision, but that kind of also prevents, in a way, his focus on ministry. But it's at least he's got that, and he's managing it well, and he's doing okay. Okay, we give primarily to our local church for kingdom expansion. We also give to ministries outside the church, which we believe in and we want to be part of. We give according to God's word, which says that we give to places where we're fed, not begged or manipulated. And I hope that you've never felt manipulated or begged, you know, in Grace Life. We do give as we're led, but before we give according to what we feel impressed on our hearts, we give purposefully and systematically. We give where we're fed. We give into our local church. We give to ministries that we're partnering with, etc. We give because we're blessed. We're not giving to be blessed. Amen? You're not giving because you're in fear that you're going to not be blessed if you don't give. You're giving because you know you're blessed and you want to be part of God's plan to reach the world. Okay? My last point is that life is short. Hell is hot and eternity is forever. So now I'm bringing the fear of God and no, I'm joking. I don't want to put fear in you or manipulate you, but life is short, if you haven't realized. Hell is hot and eternity is forever. And so giving is an eternal thing. I don't know if you see it like this. You might just be thinking we want more money. Yes, we do, because eternity is forever. Your giving is investing into people's eternity. Yeah, this church is going to outlive you. It's going to outlive me, this ministry. And for generations to come, currently, there's other churches which will be planted, but currently, we're reaching a lot of areas around here, but in Stellenbosch, Piketberg, Pretoria, and Albania, these churches are going to impact generations to come and thousands of people that you and I will never meet. It's changing lives, and it's an awesome privilege to be part of that through our giving. It really is, and it's an investment into eternity. And that's how we need to see it. Amen? And so, Father, we just want to thank you that we can do something so carnal, so it's just a natural thing of taking finances, taking money, and putting it in a bucket, transferring it over the internet or whatever the case is. But we can do something so simple as giving to be part of what you're doing throughout the world. To kingdom expansion, to seeing lives change. And Father, I thank you that it's just a privilege for us to do that. We're not doing it to be blessed. We're doing it because we are blessed. We're not doing it because we feel we have to or we're fearful that if we don't give, you're not going to bless us or provide for us. You're our Father. You provide for us because we're your children, not because we give or we don't give. But giving is a way of increase. Giving is a way of helping the kingdom to increase and expand. And it's such a blessing for us to be able to do that, Father. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness, Father. We thank you that you're not looking at us and saying, hey, you're not giving enough. Just with your eyes closed, listen to this. God isn't looking at you and saying, you're not giving enough. That's the devil. I believe that there's someone, probably more than one person here, you're feeling right now a bit of condemnation, guilt, or shame for how much you're giving. God is not looking at you and saying you're not giving enough. Jesus in the temple looked at the widow who gave only everything she had, and it was just like a few cents. And he said that she had given more than the wealthiest people in that temple because it was from their heart. God isn't looking at how much you're giving, and he's not saying, hey, you're not giving enough. You know what he's saying instead of that? He's saying, hey, you're not experiencing my love enough. Because if you experience his love, then giving won't be a problem. It's not going to be something that you have to focus on. It's going to be something which just is an overflow of you experiencing his love. His love is unconditional. That means you can experience and know his love even if you're not giving. But once you experience His love, once you experience that awesome, unconditional love of God, you won't be able to not give. Because you're going to want to be part of God's doing. This message of the good news of God's unconditional love and grace that has impacted all of us, or impacting all of us even, it's something that we want people around the world to experience. And we want to reach out with this message, but it takes finances. That's why we give. Father, I want to thank You that we have that privilege of being part of it. For those here that are struggling, maybe they don't know where their next meal is coming from, Father, I just speak a release of provision, supernatural provision over their household in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father, that Your word says You give bread to the eater. You provide our basic needs. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, nor reap, nor store away in barns, and yet Your heavenly Father, Your daddy, provides for the birds. How much more valuable are You that He's going to provide for you? Father, I just speak a release of faith to receive provision in the name of Jesus. I speak an increase of creativity over every single person that's here, every single person that's listening online, every single person that's listening to the audio, watching the video. I just speak an increase of creativity that as they put their hands to something, they're going to see the blessing flow and prosperity manifest in Jesus' name. And we just declare right now that your increase in our lives in the area of finances so that we can better provide for our families and so that we can be even bigger partners in Your kingdom, Father, in reaching people. Because hell is hot, eternity is forever, and life is short. We just thank You for that, Father, that You're good and You provide for us and You prosper us. In Jesus' name. Thank You, God. Thank You, Father, that You're a good God and You've only ever got good things in store for us.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.